Welcoming in our friend from Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. He is Nick Alberga. Mr. Alberga, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Eagerly anticipating what's to come tomorrow. How are you guys?
We're good, man. Yeah, certainly lots to talk about, lots to chew on. The lists have been submitted. Can't wait to see what the Kraken looks like come tomorrow and just how quickly maybe some of those players are flipped. Your biggest surprise, Nick, over the last 4 days across the NHL?
Oh, it has to be Carey Price. Like, I don't think anybody envisioned a scenario where Carey Price would be left unprotected for Jake Allen. And yet, here we are. So certainly, some big decisions, big conversations being had in Seattle right now. But certainly, I think when they put this team together, they didn't expect this type of situation where the best goaltender in the last decade, a future Hall of Famer, is available. Obviously, there are pros and cons to making this decision, but still, that has to be the big story for me right now.
Yeah, it is for us, too, and I think the big debate is now, do they take him? There's been a lot of discussion about the medicals, some frustration even, as Elliot Friedman noted on Sportsnet.ca over the weekend from Francis and the Kraken front office is just, they don't really know the extent of the injuries, what that looks like, if they require surgery. Of course, Carey Price is not going to see a doctor until after the expansion draft. And Mark Bergevin's rolling the dice that they don't take the $10.5 million gamble. What does your gut tell you about Carey Price and Seattle?
I think you call the bluff if you're Seattle, and that means taking Carey Price. I totally comprehend when next season starts, he's going to be 34, still has, 5 years left at $10.5 million, but I'm a gambler. I guess I should preface by saying that. And how many opportunities as a GM in this league do you have the opportunity, a chance to get one of the best goaltenders still on the planet, not for free, but for pretty much nothing in terms of trade assets? And certainly, I think if they're a team to do this and take on Carey Price in the full amount, it's Seattle, because they can, quite frankly, literally craft their roster around this cap hit, right? And other decisions obviously would be affected by Carey Price coming in, but over the last couple of days, I've been just surveying the pros and cons of Carey Price. And I just, there's more pros for me. I think when you look at building a market, I know there's a lot of comparisons to Marc-Andre Fleury and what he's done for Vegas. And I think you can make the same arguments for what Carey Price could mean to that market in Seattle. First and foremost, building it, jersey sales, what he would mean as a face of the franchise, his resume. To me, there's just a lot more pros than cons when it comes to that. And I call the bluff and I make the move here, guys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think, Carey Price to me, again, even if you get 2 out of the 5 years that are phenomenal from him, I still think it's a win. And I think everything you talked about in terms of marketability, jersey sales, advertisements, banners outside the arena, you need names like Carey Price to get this team off the ground. And yeah, we talk about the Golden Knights and their immediate success in terms of winning on the ice, but if you can't follow that, which I think everyone agrees is going to be really hard to do, you've got to do the next best thing, and that's get people in Seattle talking about your team. And the way you do that is with names like Carey Price.
Yeah, not to mention, sort of the correlation and the attachment with his family and his wife and him playing in Tri-Cities. I mean, there's just too much to gather, and I'm sure they're discussing that as we speak in the war room right now in Seattle as to the pros and cons of this. But again, I just think a player of this stature and ilk becomes available. Obviously, they're thinking long and hard about it. I understand it's kind of a peculiar situation, the way the injury news or lack thereof is coming out right now. But I think worse comes to worse. I mean, you throw him on LTIR, and I think you're saving a bit there anyways. And I just think, again, what Carey Price has brought to the table, especially what he just did in the Stanley Cup playoffs, his attachment to that market, I just think it makes too much sense to make this gamble. I'm sure ownership is probably pushing it. Let's be honest about it. It's Carey Price, and I think you got to do it here.
He's Nick Alberga, Sportsnet 590 of The Fan and Sportsnet.ca, and of course the host of Maple Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 of The Fan. He's our guest here on the big show on Sportsnet 960. Logan?
Nick, another big name that was left exposed was Vladimir Tarasenko of the St. Louis Blues. We know they've kind of been coming closer to a divorce. Not as much term left on the deal, but still some money left on that Tarasenko deal. Is he somebody you think Ron Francis should be interested in?
Yeah, so 2 years left at 7.5 per season. Certainly, I think the injury history, similar to Price, I would state, although this contract's much shorter than Carey Price's. But, I mean, shoulders are nothing to mess with. And certainly when it comes to goaltending, hips are nothing to mess with. So I get it. I just think I look at Tarasenko, like, it's easy to forget this guy's just 29. It seems like he's been around forever. And he's played some excellent hockey. Won a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. I thought he was outstanding in that postseason run for the St. Louis Blues. And again, I just think there's way more pros than cons when you look at this player. Even if you just select him for the sake of flipping him somewhere else to get more assets. I know Philadelphia's name's been linked. I would probably argue half the league is involved. I'm just mystified the Blues weren't able to figure out a resolution. And maybe it's because teams knew they were cap-strapped and wouldn't give them the assets they wanted. And perhaps that's part of the scenario, but it's just pretty crazy to me how things can go awry so quickly. And I understand he was just so unhappy with the way things were handled with his surgeries. But this guy won the cup with them like 2 years ago. So I still think, you know, obviously it's a calculated risk considering the injury history and especially the type of injuries. But I think you have to take him. And I wouldn't be shocked if they flip him right away and sort of get the assets in return here.
How about the plethora of options that he has when you look at the free, the exposed players, on the Tampa Bay Lightning? A trio of, or maybe more than a trio if you include Tyler Johnson, of capable NHL forwards, some young options there. You talk about Killorn, Palat, Gord. Any of those names interest you, or you go off the board with a younger guy if you're him in the Tampa list?
You know, I'm fascinated here if they can get creative. And from what I've been told, there are multiple protection deals. So wait for that coming up tomorrow night. Should add to the intrigue and spice of the Seattle expansion draft. And by creative, I mean, well, hey, you know, we'll take this contract because everybody and their mother around the league knows Tampa is trying to shed cap. They're going to do it all offseason long. They did it already with Barclay Goodrow, granted UFA to be, but he's going to sign here in the next couple of days long term with the New York Rangers. Creativity in the sense that, hey, okay, we'll take a Yanni Gord, we'll take an Andre Palat off you, but we're actually going to select, we want a younger player, say like a Matthew Joseph, who had a great coming out party, I would say, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially filling in when Alex Killorn went down. I thought he was outstanding there in a bottom six look. So I wonder if they can get creative from that aspect, knowing that Tampa needs to shed cap somehow and certainly try to extract as much out of Tampa as they can. So I want to see if they can do that maybe.
And the last one from me, I'm curious what you made of the Leafs and their exposed players. They go out and get Jared McCann ahead of the roster freeze, and they subsequently leave him exposed. That's just sort of an insurance policy in case Kerfoot gets selected?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I would phrase it as a protection deal that's not done with Seattle. Pittsburgh knew they had to move Jared McCann, and they pick up a prospect they're familiar with in Philip Hollander, who was actually involved in the Kasperi Kapanen deal last offseason, and I think like a seventh-round pick in 2023. It was close to nothing, with all due respect to Hollander. And I think it's just protection in case they take Alex Kerfoot. At this point in time, I would say it's likely it's going to be Kerfoot. And that's all it pretty much is some insulation, some security, if you will. If you lose Kerfoot, you have a guy like Jared McCann, who's a year younger, who can play the same type of role and probably produce a bit more for you offensively. And that's the one thing we're looking at here in the offseason for the Maple Leafs is depth scoring and trying to find more around the big four here. So it was an outside-the-box approach, I would say, by Kyle Dubas. And we've seen that a couple times over the last couple of years. Another thing I would bring up is the Riley Nash acquisition that obviously didn't benefit them in the long run, but it was an outside-the-box approach.
He is Nick Alberga. He's our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, let's bring it back locally, and probably could have started here as well. But a lot of people in this city, as you can imagine, are talking about this team losing their captain for essentially nothing. Your thoughts, Nick, on the way Mark Giordano is presumably going to leave Calgary?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's the right move. I think certainly as we've seen throughout this league, you know, the attachment to defensemen, no matter of age, especially come playoff time, what do you want? A veteran defenseman. What better than Mark Giordano? I understand he's going to be 38, but still, again, the pros outweigh the cons in this situation. Has 1 year remaining on the contract. I don't want to correlate it directly to Montreal being okay if Carey Price is gone, but I mean, it's no secret Calgary has to shed some money. They've made some mistakes over the last couple of years, and It's a tough casualty because, again, you guys know this, Mark Giordano, his importance not only to that organization but to that city and what he's done behind the scenes, captaining that team for a long period of time. It's going to be a tough loss, and you can see why Seattle wants to make that decision to draft Mark Giordano, even if it's at a one-year deal, even if they look at flipping him. I just think there's still value in this player, regardless of age. Make that what you will. I think, you know, Zdeno Chara, like a lot of these guys are playing much older, and Mark Giordano, you know, keeps very, very good care of himself, and I still think he has a lot to give to the game and still a really, really serviceable player, as you guys saw this past season. So I think it is the right decision for Seattle, and while it hurts to lose their captain, I think it's actually positive in terms of the cap situation for Calgary, too, if that makes sense.
Now, the other big question there is, okay, you know, let's assume Giordano is gone, because I think all due respect to the players that are exposed, there's nobody else really worth taking, I don't think, off this Flames list. What do the Flames do with that $6.75 million in cap space? I think that's the biggest question that, you know, many Flame fans are anxious to get the answer to, and this is a team that presumably wants to remain competitive. It's now, you know, you're losing a guy in your top four, and you still need to find a scorer probably in your top six, maybe if not your top nine. This is going to be a team that this is, I would think, the beginning of what is going to be a very busy offseason. What would you do with the $6.75 million?
Yeah, well, firstly, I think there's a lot of balls in the air when it comes to Calgary. And at this point, they've got to be pretty much open to anything that involves Matthew Tkachuk. Obviously, it would be a massive, massive haul to trade Matthew Tkachuk, and understandably so. Johnny Gaudreau's name's been out there. Sean Monahan. Like, I fully expect some fireworks here from Calgary. It just hasn't worked the last couple of years. Last year, I fully intended Calgary to be a fantastic team, and it just didn't work. I mean, they made coaching changes. They've tried everything, personnel. I think another thing I would add, too, is getting a backup goaltender. With all due respect to Louis Domingue, I don't think he's the answer. And certainly for the injury history of Jacob Markstrom, I think it's important to keep guys fresh in this day and age of the NHL. You play a lot of hockey. So I think finding a serviceable backup would be among the, you know, the list of things that they're looking at here in the offseason. I think you're right. Replacing Mark Giordano is going to be sort of big, and we'll see whether they go the trade market. Don't forget, you know, could be a player they get back in a Johnny Gaudreau deal or a Sean Monahan deal. Like, I fully expect Calgary to make a big-time trade. I think you guys would agree we're pretty much at a point where they have to make a decision like that, certainly the decisions ahead. And so I expect it. So look at that long-term and suggest that maybe they get a guy they're looking for on the back end as part of a package. Because I still think Calgary's a team, obviously, that can compete for a playoff spot, and they have a nucleus in place and a goaltender in place that they can do something substantial come the Stanley Cup playoffs. So never say never, not to mention the progression as well. You know, one of my favorite players already in this league, and Andrew Mangiapane, who's just taken steps and steps and steps, and I think he's going to continue to be a focal point of this team. So they'll be vying, obviously, with other teams looking for the same needs, but I'm very, very intrigued with Calgary's offseason here.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, and I know there's a lot of people that are, as I say, anxious to find out what this team does, and I think many are anticipating them to be pretty active at the draft on Friday, and obviously as we get into free agency. The other big surprise, and I guess surprise is the wrong word because it's been trending this way for quite some time, Nick, but what's your gut tell you on the future of the captain in Denver, Colorado?
My gut's been telling me from day one, guys, that Gabriel Landeskog's going back. Just don't forget who the GM is there, right? And Joe Sakic. Like, his patience has been exercised so many times, from like the Matt Duchene deal to everything he's done to contracts he signed. Like, he's such a calculated dude, and you just have no clue what's happening behind the scenes when it comes to Joe Sakic. So it's, you know, my understanding they're going to take one more crack at this thing. I think, you know, as Elliot Friedman put out in the 31 Thoughts, the latest podcast with Jeff Merrick, that it might have been a blessing in disguise to have sort of this three-day mental break between negotiations as Seattle figures their team out and they go back to the drawing board. Because honestly, I just think Gabriel Landeskog not only means a lot to that team on the ice, but off of it. I know he's adored in that dressing room. He's well-liked around the league for a reason, and he's a really, really great captain. So I think they're going to try to make this thing work, and my gut from the beginning suggests that Gabe Landeskog will come back to Colorado. But you just never know. Stranger things have happened over the last couple of years, but they're obviously going to give it one more shot here.
Reminds me a lot of the Petrangelo situation.
Yep. Good point. Good point. Because you always like to think that, like, my thinking is, guys, is like, why would you leave Colorado right now? And I understand money's a factor. They got to pay McKinnon coming up. They got to pay clearly Cale Makar. If it's not Grubauer, they need a goalie.
Well, McCarr's like league minimum, right? So that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, the next contract's coming up, right?
No, yeah.
I know. But it's one of those things where they've got some big time decisions ahead. But if you look at Colorado from a player's standpoint, like, what other place do you see yourself winning right now? Like, every year, they're a team that's going to be top three, looked at as maybe the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. And I would keep going back to the well with sort of the same type of roster, which they'll continue to do. So that's the way I see it. I know it's not the only factor when making a decision financially as a player, but that's my train of thinking. My line of thought is that, like, how can you leave that situation knowing how good it is and knowing that you can ride shotgun with McKinnon and Rantanen and obviously Makar on the back end there?
Yeah, Makar, RFA, probably going to be like a $9 million contract. It's going to be interesting if they go short or long term with him. And it's funny, man, we always hear the saying about salary cap space being a weapon. I know Ron Francis talked a lot about that in the days leading into tomorrow's expansion draft unveiling. And you know, it's funny, for years, I don't know if you thought the same way, Nick, but you know, we would always joke about if there's a player available, well, go to Colorado. They've got so much cap space. And all of a sudden, they're in a bit of a bind. It's crazy how quickly that can flip.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, isn't it, right? Because it just shows you, like, the parity in the league and how difficult it is to do business, especially with everything that's transpired over the last 16, 17 months here. Just the fact that it's a flat cap world, and you're going to have to navigate through that. And certainly, like, my level of intrigue is up there, obviously, with Seattle, because there's so many different ways they can go. And I just think it's important not to read everything too in-depthly into everything you hear, right? I think the narratives are there and stuff that gets out in the media. I think we can't believe everything. Certainly, they've been told that you can spend up to the cap if you like by ownership. And they're going to try their best to construct the best roster possible. Like, you can't tell me they don't look at Vegas and say, hey, why can't we compete right now as opposed to 5 years from now? Like, that has to be the thought process right now, knowing, hey, I can pluck a Carey Price. Would you rather win with a Carey Price in the Stanley Cup playoffs or a Chris Drieger, with all due respect, and somebody else combo? I know who I'd pick. So they've got some big-time decisions, and I think certainly Colorado does as well. But the Avs are going to go all in at some point in time over the next couple of years, as you expect, and they have already. And I think I just can't see a scenario where Gabe Landeskog would leave. But again, I think you're so bang on with the Pietrangelo example. Although, he had won there already, right?
He did, yeah. And I just mean in terms of everyone thought he was going back. Everyone couldn't see him leaving, and then he ends up leaving. It'll be interesting to see where Landeskog ends up. If it's not in Denver, I'm with you. That feels like a team that's just ready to break through. Three consecutive second-round appearances, and we all, I think, anticipate them getting to the Final Four, potentially the Final Two at some point here in the next half decade. And your point on Seattle's bang on, man, especially with the way that there's, at least for me, I think the Pacific Division's got the most question marks next season. It's not even close.
Oh, for sure. And that's the important thing to look at, too. Like, if you're management in Seattle and you're Ron Francis, like, there is a path there to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, like, if you have an opportunity to make the playoffs, why would you not try to make the playoffs? Like, it makes no sense to suggest, hey, they should try the old model and not try to make the playoffs and build from there. Like, if you have the opportunity, and we've seen the caliber of players that are available right now, might as well go for the juggler. Might as well go for it. Look at the success that Vegas has. Not to draw comparables to that, but there's a lot to gain from what you've seen in the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm curious to see what kind of protection deals they've made and who they end up drafting on that roster. But I think you're so right. If there's a division to enter in this league right now, it's probably that one, isn't it?
No doubt about it. Final one before we let you go, my friend, and that is the big fish that we're all waiting to see where it lands or who catches it, and that is Jack Eichel. You're a betting man, as you say. Where are you putting your money, Nick? I mean, do we get a Jack Eichel trade this week? And B, is it going to be a team that we're not even thinking about?
I wonder about that. And I wonder about the patience of Buffalo. I said this at the time. There is no rush to trade Jack Eichel. Just because he's disgruntled doesn't mean you're giving him away. And I think the latest, and a good friend of mine, of course, Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period, putting out that they've stood still on the price, and that's a lot, pretty much verbatim. So I think until that price is met or close to that price, I think you hang on to him. And certainly as we move forward here in the offseason, The deck chairs will fall, and ultimately teams will be in limbo and have to figure out their situations, and that's where you pounce, I think, if you're Buffalo. Like, stranger things have happened. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Buffalo comes back with Jack Eichel. We'll just say that because, again, this is that type of deal, guys, where you have to sort of win it, right? Like, it's Jack Eichel you give all that money to. I know he's coming off an injury. I know he's coming off a disappointing season. But you've been so patient in this process to this point. You're not just going to give him away. So I think until somebody hits your demands, I think you're hanging tight. So I don't expect a deal. And I know it's going to get wacky and crazy over the next couple of days, but I think it's important for Buffalo to stay patient. I still think the Rangers make the most sense, and maybe Buffalo circles back. I just think you look at some of the assets they're looking for. There's a smorgasbord of prospects there and players who are NHL ready and playing in the NHL right now that Buffalo can sort of pluck. It depends if they're willing to make a deal with a team from the Eastern Conference. You know, I wouldn't sleep on Minnesota. Never know about Colorado, never know about Chicago. I'm very curious to see what Nashville does. They're freeing some cap. Like, another team's the New York Islanders. Jack Eichel's the type of player that I think every team should at least place a call. And I would say the same about Seth Jones. So it's going to be nuts the next week or so, guys. I can't wait.
NHL schedule gets released on Thursday. And as you put on Twitter moments before coming on with us, we don't even know about the Olympics. And this might not be the final draft of said schedule.
Well, I don't know. Like, the way I read it, they're going. I tweeted out as well. Like, I put a futures bet last week that they're going to the Olympics. So I hope it happens. And I just think it's not good for anybody involved to miss two straight Olympics. And I, as a hockey fan, I really, really want to see Crosby and McDavid on the same hockey club with McKinnon, with Braden Point and the other great names in this country, and then dominate on a national scale. So that's why I want it. If they're putting out a schedule, I think they have some semblance that it's going to happen, but I guess you never say never, right?
Yeah, you don't. And I'm with you. We just need a best on best. I want to see those guys there. And the intriguing thing for me is, does Team Canada take Cale Makar? Is he kind of the Drew Doughty of these Olympics? Of course, Doughty's coming out party in Vancouver 2010.
He's on your
Olympic team, isn't he?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Like, Makar is probably on your first pairing. Like, he's widely regarded as one of the best defensemen in this league. Like, I know what you're saying. And, you know, I'm curious to see the brain trust. Like, I'd love to see a different regime, and it's likely we find out in the next couple months. I wouldn't be shocked if John Cooper, and understandably so, is the head coach. And for all this conversation about one Carey Price being dinged up, I would put good money that Carey Price is the starting goalie for Team Canada at the Olympics, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm reading you there, and I can't wait. Hope it happens, and we'll find out. As you say, the next couple of days are going to be wacky. Enjoy them, my friend. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.